Hi, welcome to This Is Your Book Club podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
So good to be back today.
It's book club.
I can't believe it's already book club.
I know. I feel like we just did book club.
I do too.
And I love it.
I know. I want to have them regularly because I like to talk so deeply about the books that we're reading.
Right. When we do what's on your shelf, we have to be really careful.
Yeah.
And this is just free talking. Like,
we can. Spoilers.
Here's your spoiler alert. We can talk about if we liked the ending or not, if we were surprised, where what's on your shelf, we have to be really careful.
I know. And we're giving a shorter, right? Like a shorter synopsis. Yes. And we can go really in depth here.
Right.
Which is so fun.
Yep.
I like book club.
I love book club.
And the real fun thing I feel like about book club is that we're picking these books blind. Like, we just are reading synopsises and we're like, oh, that sounds good. And this one, let's try something like this. And so we go into this just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, not knowing what it's going to be. Yeah. And so I think it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you just never know. Anyway. Okay. So we're really excited to talk about The Mercies today.
Yes.
But before we do,
our book club pick for February.
Yay!
Is Home Before Dark by Riley Sager.
I'm so excited about this
one's been on my list for a while.
It came out earlier this year.
June of 2020. Yeah, of June. Yeah. And so we've read a couple other books.
I know. I've talked about.
By this author. You talked about it. And then I think I read it after you.
Lock Every Door.
Lock Every Door. Yeah. And I think there was one other book by him that I have read. Let's see, which one was it? I read Final Girls. I read that a long time ago and didn't even know it was Riley Sager. And then we read Lock Every Door. So I've read a couple and I liked them both. So
it's got great reviews.
It does. It has really good reviews.
And it's got lots of reviews, right? So
yeah.
A lot of people are saying 4.13
stars. So with 54,000 ratings. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about this book. What's the description?
All right. Here's the book cover description, right?
Yeah.
What was it like living in that house? Maggie Holt is used to such questions. 25 years ago, she and her parents, Ewan and Jess, moved into Bainbury Hall, a rambling Victorian estate in the Vermont woods. They spent 3 weeks there before fleeing in the dead of the night, an ordeal Ewan later recounted in a nonfiction book called House of Horrors. His tale of ghostly happenings and encounters with malevolent spirits became a worldwide phenomenon, rivaling the Amityville Horror in popularity and skepticism. Today, Maggie is a restorer of old homes and too young to remember any of the events mentioned in her father's book. But she also doesn't believe a word of it. Ghosts, after all, don't exist. When Maggie inherits Bainbury Hall after her father's death, she returns to renovate the place to prepare it for sale. But her homecoming is anything but warm. People from the past, chronicled in House of Horrors, lurk in the shadows, and locals aren't thrilled that their small town has been made infamous thanks to Maggie's father. Even more unnerving is Bainbury Hall itself, a place filled with relics from another era that hint at a history of dark deeds. As Maggie experiences strange occurrences straight out of her father's book, she starts to believe that what he wrote was more fact than fiction. In the latest thriller from New York Times bestseller Riley Sager, a woman returns to the house made famous by her father's best-selling horror memoir. Is the place really haunted by evil forces, as her father claimed? Or are there more earthbound and dangerous secrets hidden within its walls?
Ooh, this is right up my alley.
I know.
I'm so excited.
Honestly, I have not read more like mystery novels than I have this year.
I'm corrupting you.
I don't know if that's it. It's just a genre I haven't ever really thought to pick up. Yeah, right. Exactly. And so I have. And most of the time, I have really been glad I did. Yeah.
This one sounds really good.
I'm so excited to read this book.
I'm very excited.
I know. And so be sure to pick it up so that you can read along with us.
Yes.
Reserve it.
See where it's at the library really quick.
Right? That's always important to note.
Because if I don't do it now, then I forget. And, you know.
I do know.
You guys all want to hear me get things on the list at the library. Place hold. So I don't have any more holds to place.
It's
so.
An 8-week.
It's
so we're not going to get that.
We'll
thing
be buying
in time.
This one. Thank you, Audible credit.
Yes, every month. That's where yeah, it goes to my book club book.
Yeah.
So anyway, join us and follow along if you want to save our book club till you get it at the library. That's good too.
Yeah, that works. We'll be here for you in 8 weeks.
You can save us 10. For then. But next week, you'll want to tune in. We have a What's on Your Shelf.
Yes.
Which is always a good one.
Yep.
Okay.
I've got more good ones to talk about.
But today.
So, today. Oh, and I just wanted to do a little come back to what we talked about last time. Was it last time we talked about the erasable pens? I'm going to ask you, did you get your erasable pens?
I think
pens?
It was 2 times ago because it was our question and answer.
Oh, that's right.
And I did order them and I got them.
And
my children are thieves. I think they're awesome.
Yeah. And so do your kids.
And so do my kids. Yes, that's exactly what happens. And the problem was that I was unable to sneakily get my Amazon package without their awareness. They saw the Amazon package be delivered. Therefore, they must find out what's inside. And from that moment on, I had no hope.
They're gone.
Well, I mean, I do. Yeah. I do have them and I did use them. But they snatch them and steal them and they know that I have them and they are stinkers.
And they want to use them.
Yeah. But they're awesome.
They're really cool, huh?
Like, I think I thought, I mean, they totally do erase all the way. Mm-hmm. And I think I thought the ink, like, wouldn't show up very well. Like, it would
be
kind
a
of
lighter ink.
Body.
Yeah.
No, it's very good.
It's good ink,
and
right?
It's pretty colors.
Yeah.
Good recommendation. Good.
I'm glad you're happy and it wasn't a waste of your money.
It was not.
Okay.
It was very good. Thank you.
Okay. Now the mercies.
Well.
Beginning, middle, end.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. If you haven't read.
Now. We're talking everything.
It's going to be.
Thoughts.
What did you think? I'm like afraid to say out loud.
Should we start with how many stars we each gave it?
That's a good place to start.
So I gave it 4 stars.
I gave it 3 stars.
Okay. I think I understand your 3-star rating because I was debating between 3 and 4. And ultimately, it came down to I liked it better than The Last Train to Key West, which I gave 3 stars. So I was kind of like, okay, this one would be 3.5 stars. But since I can't give 3.5 stars, I will round up. I'll give the benefit of rounding up. So I gave 4 stars.
Optimism.
I loved a lot about the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll discuss the things I didn't like about it, which...
Yes.
So you,
it was a well-written book.
Very well
written. I mean,
written.
She describes things quite beautifully. I must say.
I agree. I think the prose was awesome.
Yes. And like the landscape, I felt it. Like
I absolutely felt the cold.
Yeah.
And the seaside town.
And like the loneliness, right? Like the sparseness of people.
Yes.
Like,
the desperateness of survival on the edge of the earth, almost like right up against the sea. Definitely the description was there vividly.
Yes. It took me one problem was it took me a while to get into it. Like it took a few, like I kept getting confused about who was who and like who they were talking about and like the characters were meshing together and their names were, and that might've been, I listened
as well, and I did listen to the first chapter twice.
Okay.
Because I felt the same way. Like, were they talking about Mom or Marn? Marn.
Or then there
Marin,
was Mama.
Or Mama. Yeah, so the accent, which was beautiful
it
to listen
really
to.
It really was. And once I got used to it, it was better.
Yeah, it took me a couple chapters to get used to it and to really get an idea of who the characters were and what they were saying. Because... Marin or Marn?
She says Marn on the audiobook, but if you were to read it in our English, it
would
be
Marin.
Marin.
Yeah. But it sounded a lot like Mama.
Yeah.
Or however they
like
say.
Mom. It sounded like Mom.
It sounded like Mom. And so I got a little confused there.
Yeah. So I think that's why they said Mama so funny was to differentiate. But it was still like, wait, I think she said Mom. Like Mom.
Yeah.
Mom. Let me say that clearly here in case you're confused.
Right. So I do think getting into listening to it,
it was a little
the
tricky.
Accent and the characters and knowing who was who, it was a little slow for me. I had a hard time.
Mm-hmm. And like In my mind, they were going to be without men for a while. And yet, yes. I felt like that time where they were, like, alone without their men was really skipped over.
Yes. I did. I was expecting to hear a little bit more about how they came together, how they learned to get the boats out, how they learned to fish, how they had to, because none of them had done this before. They'd only ever listened to their husbands doing it.
Yeah.
Like the trial and error stuff. Yeah. Of learning how to do this all without the men. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I kind of wanted to know more of.
Like, it kind of just was like, oh yeah, of course they fish. Like, anyone could go out and do that if they wanted to. They just didn't because they were women.
Yes.
And I don't know that that's necessarily true.
No, I think there would be a lot to figure out. Like,
yeah.
How to get.
And yeah, I mean, the other, the household stuff, right? Like the skinning and all of that. I'm sure they did know how to do.
Yes.
Right? Like, yeah, the household cooking and the making of the bread and the skinning of the animals and the fish, cooking the fish. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how did they get it?
Yes.
How did they do all of that?
Anyway, did they do all the things that needed to be done to keep the home up and for survival there while so many were out fishing? Like, I just wanted to know the day and day of those and months those after.
Relationships between the women that were there.
Had to work like, together.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you kind of understand the minister. I feel like that. Mm-hmm. Relationship, the minister to the women gets explained. I mean, obviously there's different personalities in the town.
Yes.
And that played into things. And you couldn't assume that they're not all going to get along. But like, why?
Yeah. What was the separation?
Right.
There like, seemed to be a distinct.
I really was difference. So curious about what was the motivation behind the way they treated each other.
Right.
It didn't quite make a whole lot of stuff. It just was.
It just was. And that's how it was. I agree with that. I think, you know, the storm happened right at the beginning and then the men were gone. And then.
And even that, I was like, it happened so quickly.
Done and over.
And I didn't understand, like, well, why did they die or what happened to them? Yeah. Or it just, there was a wave and then they were not there.
They were gone. And some lightning.
Yes.
I mean, obviously it was a really bad storm, but I feel like it happened really fast. And then they were gone. And then it happened really fast years later after the women had picked up and fished together and done all these things. We just jumped into the next part of the story of the chancellor. Is that what they called him?
Yeah. Or the counselor.
Or the counselor.
Something. Yes.
Yeah.
That comes and he gets.
That comes. So he gets married.
Assigned.
All of a sudden we're there and they get married and he's assigned to come over. So I feel like it jumped over. That
those years.
Whole part, those years there of what these women were doing for survival.
Because I believe there were 3 years that they sat there without their men. That's a long time.
Yes. And I loved the idea that they were like, you know, this neighboring town is generous, and that's great, but we've got to do for ourselves. We've got to make sure for our survival that we can't be dependent on them because what if something then happens to them? So we need to be working. And they were like, we've got to do this. We can do it.
I did love that about the women.
I love that. And when they talked about Sherston taking the reindeer on and, you know, doing that work. And she just like jumped in and was ready. And she was almost like the fact that she's going to jump into wearing pants. I loved that part of it, that it was so scandalous.
Yes.
For her to wear pants.
And it was, and her response and was like, so logical. Like, you want me to do the killings in my dress?
Right.
Right? Because she's like, she's.
The men were doing this work. And if the men were doing it, they were in trousers.
Yes.
Of course I should be in trousers doing it.
Right.
That makes
sense. She's skinning the animals and cutting up the meat. Like, you want me to do that in a dress? Like, duh.
Yeah. You want me to wear a dress while I go out and fish? Like, and these, it sounds like, you know, they, and the seal skin coats and all the stuff they're talking about. I can only imagine, you know, I really wish there was a little bit more about the fishing process and them going out and them in dresses trying to do this or
because I think she was the only one who wore pants.
Yeah.
So the other women literally went out in their
dresses. Yeah. I would have loved to have heard a little bit more about that, but I loved the Sherston character about.
I did too. I thought she was great.
She's going to survive. This is what you have to do.
Right.
Like, what do you expect us to do?
Yeah. Like, we got to eat.
We got to eat.
We got to stay warm.
Survive. And the men are gone. And so now we've got to do this.
Yeah.
There's no men to pick up the work.
No.
So we've got to move on for our survival. It made perfect sense.
Yes, it did.
And so those rules of like a woman not like when Ursa is traveling here, traveling to Varda, and she wants to go into town, and she has to get
an escort
to take her into town, because it would be scandalous for a woman to go by herself into town.
Yeah.
She has to have someone go with her, and it's a 13-year-old boy. Like,
is her escort.
Is her give escort me a because break. What's a he woman gonna do? Can't go by herself into town.
That's this, crazy.
I mean, just the mindset of what these women had to put up with. They're living in one of the hardest climates.
Yes.
Expected to wear a dress in this bitter, freezing cold winter. Yes. And they're doing hard work.
Where the sun too. Barely comes up.
Yeah. Like, they're planting, they're harvesting, they're, you know, cooking and descaling fish with knives and making bread. They're doing all this work.
Bread
this
that will last a year. Did you hear that? Can you
even imagine?
No. Yeah,
I'm sure it's so delicious.
Right.
But, I mean, these are tough women to live in these conditions.
Yes.
And yet, they are expected to wear a skirt.
And still be delicate women.
To be delicate women, to be escorted to town. They don't need to be escorted.
It was like, very interesting. What is the
fear here of allowing a woman...
It's just crazy. Some that freedom. Time. It is hard for me. It is very interesting to hear, like, what was normal 300 years ago. And
yes.
What we consider, what we do now, right? Like, the different cultures and how our cultures have shifted and grown and modernized, which, thank heavens. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank heavens I live now. That's all I can say. But the other side of it is, like, how in the world did it last the way that it did for as long as it did?
To be so repressed. Like, we talk now about the trauma of rape victims. And these, I mean, when you look at Ursa, she was married. She got married, didn't know him.
Yes.
And then was a bystander in their conjugating their marriage.
She just...
And all of their intercourse.
Everything thereafter. In their marriage.
There was he no... Could,
she couldn't have money. She could not write her own letters to her family. She couldn't
read her own letters from her family.
That is insane. That her father wrote them knowing he would have to read them to her. He would have to
read them to her. So nothing's private.
Oh my gosh.
And... there's no passion. There was no love. She didn't even know him.
And then when she gets to know him, she hates him.
She doesn't like who he is. And he comes in every night and she...
Whatever you want. Yep, she doesn't get a say.
I don't get a say. I mean, it is a version of rape. I mean, she wasn't... I guess she was willing by...
Because she thought she should be.
Because she, yeah. I mean, she was expected to, and that was her job as a woman. I don't think
she ever asked herself if she was willing.
Right. It was not a choice.
No,
it wasn't unwilling. So I guess you're right. She wasn't willing.
Because there was no choice.
Her marriage wasn't even a choice.
No. She couldn't have said yes
to that, pretty much.
She was sold with the ship.
And that this is the common thing for the time.
Yes. This was not abnormal.
This is just the expectation of women at that time.
Yes. That's the thing. So a lot of me was just like, no, you turn your back to him or no. And the reality is she couldn't do that.
No.
Like, she didn't have that option.
And she feared him.
Yes.
She was, and he was aggressive. I mean.
Yes. She had bruises. She had
bruises. He was aggressive. She had reason to fear.
And like when
suffocation.
Yes. That
women lived with at this time period and for many, many generations. So
many hundreds of years, thousands of years.
I just want to scream. I'm sure they wanted to scream. They weren't even allowed to.
Honestly.
They were then considered hysterical and crazy and
yes,
a witch. And, exactly. You know, anything you put up, you were accused of something.
I know.
And you just had to go along with it.
I mean, and then
my heart goes out
and,
to him.
And Marn. Mm-hmm. That's how, I'm going to say it how they say it in the audiobook.
Okay.
Marn, she is not married. Her betrothed died.
Died in the, yep.
So in case you're just listening and you're not planning to read the book and just want to hear about it, Marn lived in Varda.
Uh-huh.
Is it Varda?
Varda.
Varda. And she's one of the women there. She lived with her mother and sister-in-law. Yes. And her betrothed and brother and father died with all the men.
Yeah, as out on the boats in this storm.
And so she's one of the main perspectives mm-hmm. that we hear from. So we mm-hmm. hear from her point of view, and then we switch to Ursula's point of view, mm-hmm. who was the wife of the chancellor man,
yeah.
who came to like oversee the women yes. where they believed evil was being
yes.
done.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So you have her point of view, who came from a very, a well-to-do family in a city.
Ursa did. Yeah. Yes. Ursula, or they call her Ursa. Her closest friends call her Ursa. So
yep.
we'll refer to her as both.
And so you have these two different point of views. Someone who is like a stranger to this land.
Yeah.
And someone who is a native to this land.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're different experiences. And then they form a friendship,
uh-huh.
you know, because number one, Ursa needs help. Like, she doesn't know what in the world she's doing.
She comes expecting to be in a castle.
With a maid and a servant. With a maid
and servants. And she grew up with those in her younger years, and they had lost that. So their family had lost some money and lost some of the privilege, but not to the point. I mean, she's in a one bedroom hut pretty much here.
Yes.
Like a tiny.
Like all one room. All that's, one room. Like beds in the main area, room. You can close
But it's close bigger than curtain. The other places there.
Yes.
But it's by no means a castle.
No.
At all, and no servants, and there she doesn't no know servants. How to do anything.
She doesn't know how to cook. She
doesn't know how to cook.
She doesn't have the right clothes because it's
nothing.
So cold.
She has nothing. They have to get her a coat when she gets off the boat. She has nothing for this.
It's crazy
for where
like,
she's at.
To the point, like you're in such a rural place that you have, they just hang the meat in the back of your place, and you go and cut pieces off to cook for dinner. Yeah.
And it's so cold there; they can do that. Like yeah. it's fine.
Like, so she has to literally go, I mean, we're not saying, oh, I went to the market and got my ingredients. Yeah. Like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And she has nothing, and she shows up with nothing. How are they going to eat? Like what?
Right. It's they have nothing, right? Yeah. Like neighbors, I think, brought in some soup, some stew.
Yeah.
To like get them started.
To get them started.
But that was all they had.
But that's it. Yeah.
So Marn goes by to visit and mm-hmm. to take her some furs that she had for her
mm-hmm.
and sees the state that she's in and how much trouble she's in. And out of, I think, curiosity, one, and she feels bad for her. Yeah. She like agrees to help her out.
Yeah.
For pay.
Yes.
So they're paying her because to kind of teach her.
She can't really afford to give up her own jobs to go
help her them. Yeah. Like she's pay. Got her so own
she
things.
She is paid for it.
And then it turns into a friendship.
Yes.
And which is so interesting.
Yeah. I love that. Neither of them have ever really had a friend before.
Right. Like, kind of, Chirsten, uh-huh. like, and Marn are, I think, the closest thing she has to a friend.
Uh-huh.
But even that is not very personal.
No, it's not a personal friendship. They're just working for survival here. Like, having a friend, that's a luxury.
Absolutely.
If you had time and there just wasn't here. They had to be working and...
I mean, I did get the impression that she maybe was friends with her sister-in-law before the mm-hmm. men died.
Before the men died. But once the men died, everything changed. Just changed because...
Survival.
Yeah, survival. They were in survival. And even... Do you remember the sister-in-law's name?
Is it Erda or Deidre or something like Dieter? That? Is it? Let me see if they say it.
Dina was a Sami.
Yes.
And so...
So she was married really, into this community.
And they were... Samis were looked down on. And it was... They called them Laplanders or Laps. And that's a derogatory term for them. The Sami or Sami is the term they prefer. But she had very different upbringing and different beliefs. They were... more of the indigenous people
mm-hmm.
of the area. And so they, you know.
Yeah, they did things differently. They had their own culture.
Yes.
They were not like Christianized.
Absolutely. That would be the difference there. And so it was really, she was looked down on and judged for the way she did things.
And I got the impression that when her, I think Eric was her husband.
Her husband, yes.
Was alive, it didn't seem to bother her.
Right.
But without him. It didn't seem to
matter, but without him.
It was very hard.
She was there and shouldn't be there almost.
Yeah.
Is what the community thought. She felt
very isolated. Not necessarily
Marn.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pronounce it how she does.
Yeah.
So that's hard. But everybody else is just looking at her now as an outsider, but she's got a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom wants to keep
the baby. It's like she wants the baby and wants the sister-in-law to go. She doesn't
want her there.
She's not nice.
No, not at all.
It sounded awful.
Yes. And then I tried to keep in mind everyone here is grieving and nobody's their best selves at this time.
Yeah, that's
a good
point. No
one's talking about it. But there are other things playing too. Beliefs and religion and the wind weaving.
Yes.
And, you know, the beliefs of the Sami people and how they did things and how they looked to the earth for answers to things. Then in this, you know, Christianized or religious community, all of a sudden that was considered evils and that yes. would make her a witch.
Well, and a lot of things, right? Like anything they didn't understand. I feel exactly. like if they it's couldn't.
Just a lack of understanding.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden it was foreign and wrong and bad.
And bad.
And I don't want it around me because it makes me uncomfortable.
Right. Instead of asking questions and yes. being maybe a little open-minded to, oh, I like where that tradition comes from or
right.
that belief, it was, that's weird.
You're can't weird. Do it anymore.
That's evil. I don't like it. Something's wrong with you.
Yes, there is something wrong with you. I think that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. You must be evil. You must be taken by the evil spirits.
Yes. And the other thing that I thought was so interesting was at first I got the impression, right? They give the impression that the counselor person guy, what's his name? Absalom.
Absalom. Yes.
Okay. He's Ursula's husband is Absalom. And he like seems like this pious man, although not kind.
No.
But he acts like he's very good.
And people just, like, they look at him as he's so great because he's yeah. done these things.
But he wasn't cleansing nice. The I feel earth like...
of with these witches and these evil people.
But you don't know that at first.
You don't know that
at first. At first, he's just like this very pious man yeah. who is just going to make sure everyone's on the right path and yes. whatever. But I feel like you can see a lot. A man's character by how he treats his wife because that's where nobody is watching and
he does not treat her well.
He's not kind. He's not kind. And so you always kind of have, or at least I always had this.
He's very dismissive.
Uneasy feeling yeah. about him.
Like even in the parts where he's, I mean, yes, we find out that, you know, he grabs her too tight or causes bruises or is a little abrupt with her in private. But in public, he's just dismissive or he just doesn't yes. come around or he'll just take off and leave and not say anything
he
to
doesn't
her.
Ever even, she's like, just one of his possessions.
She's an afterthought to him. She is definitely yes. an afterthought.
Yeah. yeah. Or, yeah, it's just something that he owns that he wants to be pretty.
Yeah.
For other people. Like, it had nothing to do with her. Like, she doesn't have a mind. She doesn't mm-hmm. have thoughts or
feelings
or any. Or if, yeah. you know, if they do, then.
And every time she says, well, you never told me that. And he's like, well, you never asked. Like, right. this is gaslighting back in the 1600s. Yeah. Like, at its finest. Like,
absolutely.
It always came back to being her fault.
And
regardless.
You slowly, like, especially that weekend that they spent with the people who lived a mile away that invited yeah. them for dinner. I can't think of his name. Was
that
he
they
the
took the carriage
lynchman?
Too? Yeah.
Or something like yeah, that?
Yeah, something like that.
I, like, listening to that conversation and, like, watching his true colors kind of come out, like, yeah. Where she starts to realize his real being, like, who mm-hmm. he really is. It was, like, really hard for me to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, that was a tough part of the story.
Yeah, the revelation to her of what she was really married to.
And their purpose there.
Yeah. And I think, like, when she gets sick at the end and they end up having to stay an extra day and she says it's the food, I'm just not used to the richness of that food anymore, I've got a blend. I think that is such a
comparison.
Such a comparison to what the personality of the people she's with is.
Yes.
She is not of that. She is not of that richness, that
yes.
belief, that thought, and it makes her physically sick. So in my head, it wasn't just the food that
no.
made her sick.
That
it
is
was
so true.
The overwhelmingness of all of it.
Yeah.
That she is not used to any of this.
Like,
and
her
she doesn't
eyes have
fit
been
in.
Opened and she's she tasted
yes.
a different life
and
even.
She doesn't like it.
Yes.
It's not her.
I thought that was so interesting too, that in that situation where she had the option, to like kind of hide behind her husband and choose the finer things.
Yes.
And it was more important to Ursa to stand up for these women that she was getting to know. Mm-hmm. And the choosing what was right was better than choosing what was easy and good for her.
Right.
And like, even though there wasn't a lot that she could do, because
her hands were tied,
there was nothing really she could do.
Right. To stop it. But she could warn them.
Yes.
She could tell them who was speaking of them and
anything she could hear.
You need to be careful. You need to be.
I mean, ultimately, she still stuck by.
But she was.
Those people.
Yes.
That she just, that were new to her.
She didn't have it out.
Yeah.
She didn't have it out.
Anyway, I thought that was like so showing. I thought Ursa was such a good character because she had to swallow a lot of pride by asking for help. Right? Like coming in there, not knowing anything.
Right.
Feeling kind of like a fool.
I need your help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so humbling herself and then also recognizing like the qualities in these women that were worth like being friends with these women and not those women.
Right.
And like being able to differentiate between like what was good and what wasn't. Yeah. Anyway, she really had such a clear vision of like where there was a root of evil.
Right and wrong.
I mean, because those women that turned against their own were really evil. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest here.
Yeah.
To tell these lies and things about people out of spite and jealousy and knowing everything that they'd have to go through.
Right.
That was insane to me.
Yes. And I think you said it well when you said anything that's different, the unknown that made me uncomfortable. No, Ursa came in and said, teach me, show me.
Yes.
Explain this to me.
It was very different. It was uncomfortable and she
got through
it. Everything
that she experienced there was uncomfortable and different than her life. And she could have said, this is all wrong. These people are all weird and this is a horrible experience. But she humbled herself to ask for help. I'm here. Let's make the best of it.
Show me how
you do
this.
Teach me your ways.
Yeah.
And she came around to their ways and understanding how they lived and how they survived and that there is joy to find in that, in her new life. She found joy with these friendships, even though it was the hardest work she's ever done in the hardest territory to live in. She learned to find joy. And I think that just goes back to bloom where you're planted.
Yes.
You know?
And that's hard to do.
It is hard to do because we want to be bitter.
Yeah.
In a way, it's like...
It is almost easier in certain situations.
Easier to just be like, this sucks.
And feel sorry for ourselves.
And feel sorry for yourself. But she didn't. She was just like, you know what? Let's do this.
This is where I am.
This is where I am.
I'm going to make the best of it.
Let's learn. I'm going to learn. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't unusual to her. She knew their heart. She knew where they were coming from. She knew the truth of these people. And then she was put in that position in between the two sides of...
Yeah.
Now I know what they're going to do to you.
So let's kind of talk about that a little bit.
Way of getting up in society in his position.
Okay. So
was to come in and
just be brutal. Ursa finds out that he was a witch killer.
Uh-huh.
Not only did he like convict witches, but he did the torturing and the killing.
Yeah. Can you imagine having the stomach to do that to someone? A, to have the belief.
Right.
That someone could... this was an evil thing, and then B, to then go through with
like
taking a life in such a brutal way.
Well, and like the torture, like they describe the torture and it's horrific, like the branding and the fire and the water anyway.
And holding, they were like the ropes around their wrists and holding them down. And like the one that they was in jail, it was Sherston.
Yes.
When they talk about she hasn't had a bath, she's
urinated they won't
all
let
of
her
herself.
Get like clean.
They've given her while she's imprisoned before she's even tried or convicted.
Well, you don't even get a real trial. Filthy. They just like talk bad about you. You're arrested, and then they say, if anyone has anything else to say about them, come and tell us. And they pay you money to do
to
that.
To do that. And so people are telling lies.
Yes, like, just to get
totally
the money.
Making things up. Well, one time.
Yes.
So it had to have been evil spirits, because what else would have had her do something like that? Or
yes. And like, we tortured them so bad, and they until they finally confessed. It's like.
And if they don't,
They're you just want the so torture to stop. So you're going to say anything.
And if you don't confess, then you're thrown into
the ice cold water naked.
In front of everyone. Like, this is so humiliating. And even they were talking about Ursa and Marin were like, we hope she drowns.
Because then it would be over. Because
then it's over. And she's, but if she doesn't, then they're burned. Like,
oh, there was no win. This whole
process is just torture.
There so is no win.
You're like better off to just say at the very beginning, yeah, I'm a witch.
Right.
And then this is just keeps happening. It just feeds the belief that there are witches.
Yes.
Because of this.
Yes.
So by doing that, it's just perpetuating.
Because then it's like name more people.
On. Yeah.
Because we want to rid this town of all of the all witches. I mean, and it just kind of continued and continued. And I was sick about it. It was hard.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, like the unrighteous dominion. Like unrighteous rulers that go and it didn't
matter, they were losing no matter what.
There was nothing. And like it makes me crazy to feel like
power hungry leaders
that will do anything to have power.
Yeah. And it wasn't enough power. It'll never be enough power.
Like, how can you feel good about your rise in
that's power, how you got there.
Like standing on all these dead people.
Yeah.
That didn't do anything wrong.
Did nothing wrong.
Like, Sherston was different because she had to survive. She
put pants on to
cut up the deer. The
deer and cut them up. Yes. And she's got blood all over her and carcasses and whatever's on the inside, all the insides and organs of an animal.
Like, she's not going to do it. So she's surviving and who cares what she wears? Like, oh my gosh. It was so hard for me.
Desperate, they don't have a lot of clothing in the first place. All the men died. They've got all the men's clothing. Like, doesn't it just make sense to be like, this is survival. This is another pair of clothing.
That I can be warm.
That I can be warm in and take care of this men's work.
I'm not impressing anyone. My husband is dead.
There are no men here to impress.
Right?
And then they come in. I just can't get over that enough. What a sin it was. How shameful to wear a pair of pants.
Yeah.
To do this hard, brutal work.
Right.
In freezing cold conditions.
I just cannot. I mean, even.
When Ursa gets there and it's summer and she's talking about how cold it is and they're like, this is summer. And she's like, this is supposed to be the warm time.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine how cold it is and that you're wearing a dress?
It's so.
I can't get over it.
It's ridiculous.
No.
The other person that I wanted to talk about was the minister. So there's a minister in the town who was there before the men died, and then he watched the men die, and then he watched the women survive, right? Mm-hmm. And he is trying to get the women to stay womanly, but they don't always listen. And you know what? Sometimes they need to eat, and so they go fishing instead of going to church.
Yes.
Right? And that concerned him, too, because he was worried about
to be
their souls.
Yeah.
Right?
At church.
And you find out kind of, I think, towards the end or middle-ish, that he wrote a letter to the lenchman or someone saying that he was concerned because they were fishing.
Instead of him.
And so he kind of is a tattler, and you don't know that at first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he really brought this on. But I don't think that was ever, I don't think his mind ever went there.
Right.
Right? That they were going to come and start killing the women.
Right.
Right? I think
he was honestly concerned for them. Is that what you thought?
I think he was.
I didn't give it a lot of thought to him in that at all.
I think he just was very much just a religious man that was concerned about them being, like, godly.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, I don't know how else to help these women. And he's kind of seemed like a soft-spoken man. Mm-hmm. And so they weren't coming. And so he's like, these women.
How do I help them? I need to help them.
And then all of a sudden, to see them start to be killing. You could see him start to be like, I never thought.
Yeah.
He has that conversation with Marn about, like, them coming and what's happening. And how could you want this to happen to our women?
And doesn't he say they need to, like, Dina needs to show up on Sunday?
Yeah, he's like, she needs to come
sit and show up so that I have her name on the rolls.
Yes, and they tried really hard. Here. But ultimately, it wouldn't have saved her. It didn't save Sherston. It didn't save Marn.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like that you didn't, you didn't see this coming, but maybe you should think about that. Like, mm-hmm. there's no reason to go tattling and worrying about everyone to that extent, because look what you've brought to this town mm-hmm. because you were so worried. It wasn't right. that bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought this guy, I hope he went away from that feeling like guilt, but I don't think he yeah. did. Because yeah. he does make another comment like, it was the mercy of God that saved the women.
Yeah.
And let them live after this storm. It was the yeah. mercy of God. And she was like, this is
where
not
was the mercy when yeah. our men were out on the boat?
And where's the mercy when now yeah. when there's killing
You want these us to people? Believe in God now when we're totally destitute and yeah. our men are all gone? And where was our mercy then? And right. now we're being
like there was no
persecuted for there surviving. There
was no blessings or goodness no. that came
yeah.
from that. Any of these experiences. Everything yeah. was hard and awful.
Yes. Yes.
It was crazy. I wished we'd heard more about what happened to the women when they were taken mm-hmm. as and
the whole
accused
trial
of witches.
And that
yeah.
part.
It went very quick.
The storm went really quick. The trial went really quick. And those 3 years in between the storm where the women had to do it, that went really quick in the book.
Yes.
And yet other parts were long. Like there was long dialogue, which I thought was beautiful and well written. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed all of that. I'm not complaining at all about that. But those main areas that I wanted more of were like, boom, boom, yeah. boom. Those are done and over with more. And that left me wanting more, which was ultimately what my complaint was, my 3.5.
So that's where, like, I kept coming around. Four. So there's the relationship between Marn and Ursa. Mm-hmm. Their friendship turns physical and they uh-huh. have a love moment.
So this is kind of a touchy subject to hit on.
We got to talk about
appropriateness and what it was and why. Do you feel like they were lesbians? Or do you feel like...
Because
I think, like, when in other books I've read and in other things I've read, when you haven't had human touch,
right.
you crave human touch.
Sure.
And this was
and
a friendship.
And they had a dear, real friendship.
And they had no real human loving touch that led to that. So was it just the need for touch and relationship?
And connection.
Or were they, I mean, and we don't know. There's no.
Because, and they said, and it's a, yeah, and they yeah. separate at the end, right? They yeah. have to go their separate ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a very fair question. Although I will, there was that part where Marn talks about like in the night, right? She used to mm-hmm. think when she would, you know, touch herself, she would think of her betrothed.
Yes.
So I do think she liked men.
That's true. Yeah.
So I don't know.
It was situational. And does it matter? No.
No.
They found love in one another.
Yes.
Friendship,
and
physical,
comfort.
Whatever it was, they had each other. And I think that.
Yeah. I mean, it was. Yeah. My real concern was like, it was fine. Like, I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
It was more like there were so many other things that could have been the focus of that book that it didn't need it.
It didn't need it. That's
like, this wasn't based on a real story. Like, in my opinion, this is only my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, I didn't find it disgusting or overly done. I did not. I thought it was very tastefully done. And it did make sense in the story. Mm-hmm. But like we've been sitting here talking about, like, tell me more about the witch trials.
Right.
Tell me more about the storm.
Pages.
And tell me more about these other situations that we glossed over when mm-hmm. you went into such detail here, which is, it wasn't bad. You tell things, like, she tells things so beautifully, descriptively. Like, go there. Go. Like, you spent time here where it wasn't really the story I was looking to read. Mm-hmm. I wanted this witch story.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's kind of where I was kind of like, yeah. Of course they're mm-hmm. going there. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I cared more about other things.
Right. Their relationship was as strong to me with as it would be without that part.
Exactly.
I think it, either way, it didn't bother me either. And I thought it was an interesting twist after, you know,
sure.
she was married. Not that you can't be married to a man and still have feelings for a woman, but you know,
she has the full spectrum of experience,
but also the risk
Yes.
I mean, they're already that being watched is very true. So closely
I for thought everything. For sure someone was going to walk in on them. And
this is not a private place.
I was very relieved.
I was very worried when that
nobody
that scene,
did. Yeah, I'm glad that nobody that, did.
Yeah.
That was a relief.
That like, was a relief. Because that's, oh man, the witchery there.
I can't even imagine.
Obviously, they were possessed by witches if that's what they were doing.
I agree. You know? I totally thought that's where it was going to go.
I thought so too.
And I thought that was going to end in more like conviction mm-hmm. yes. of witchcraft.
Yes.
So I was glad that it didn't.
Yeah.
Just because I really liked the characters and I didn't want them to get burned. I really didn't. So I was glad that it didn't end with them, either of them. Burnt. And mm-hmm. I was also really glad. So then, fast forward to get to, what is his name?
Why can't I ever remember it?
Absalom.
Absalom.
So Absalom, which, why did he, like, go over to arrest her in the middle of the night?
Right.
That part didn't really make sense drunk. To me. Yes.
And he's going to go arrest her right then?
Because like, appearances are too important to him to do that.
He was turned down by his wife. I think it was out of shame and out of bitterness. Like, you turned me down. You said not tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to go take, I know your friends. I'm going to get back at you.
I do think that. And that makes sense.
Purely out of that. It wasn't his plan otherwise.
Like, it just didn't make sense to me in his character. Because his character was very much worried about appearances. I mean, he was very strategic and in the way mm-hmm. that he did everything and calculating, like how he was always taking all those notes before he actually went in and arrested Sherston.
Right.
And like, it was very, very thought out and calculated. He planned that. So I feel like to be so rash, and I guess we all do things like that in the moment, mm-hmm. but that was so out of character for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it would, in my mind, it would have made more sense for him to just take her without her consent, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
Like, rather than like, oh, like, I'll wait.
This isn't a choice.
Yes, that makes more sense to me.
I'm your husband. Yes.
Than him being I'm going to go in the middle of the night. I mean, it definitely played out in a way that I wanted it to.
Yes.
I was very happy with how that it played out, right? So he goes over to arrest Marn's not home, mm-hmm. but he finds Ursa's dress on the floor.
Yeah.
After their escapade.
Right.
And
which starts calls it to her wonder. Wedding dress.
Right.
She had her wedding dress on?
Well,
when she was over there, or was it like a petticoat type thing?
It was her yellow dress. Remember, she wore it to the trial. Dress.
Yes.
And she's like, that's not really a trial dress. That's and she's like, I want you fancy. In your best dress.
Yeah, that's right.
Because again, appearances are so important to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that he would put two and two together. Like, I just can't imagine that his mind would go there first.
Right. Right.
Like, why would you all? I mean, this is the 1600s.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
that he thought that
that there was a lot of that happening.
Yeah.
And that they worried about it.
Right.
On a large scale.
I mean, and that would make perfect sense. She was helping with laundry. I mean, that was just a logical story for. She was a helper for them, she was teaching her how to do things.
She probably never done her own laundry before. That kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of felt like, I mean, again, I liked it.
Yeah.
But it didn't necessarily fit a whole lot with who he was and the times.
I agree. And then Ursa.
I love it.
Kills him.
Ursa is like, well, he strangles Marn. He goes and he's going to kill Marn.
Yeah.
He's dunking her in the water and stuff. Yep. Isn't that what he was doing?
Yep, he was holding her head under the water.
And in her fear that that Marn's going to die.
Yeah. She picks up the rolling pin, which I love because they talked earlier when they were teaching about making the bread.
Yes.
The stone that was heavy and used for this purpose, that she used the rolling pin, and the description of the second time she hit him and the head was softer than the first time, like the spongy softness of the head. It was so descriptive.
Yes.
And I loved it. Like, he so deserved to have his brain bashed in.
Yes, he did. Oh my gosh, if there was a character that I wanted to die.
And I love that she's like, I'm just going to keep hitting him. Like, imagine all those things that you've been upset about that are coming out. She finally gets to rage and Marin stops her and is like, no, that's enough. We now need to put a plan in place and take care of this.
And like, he wasn't like fully dead. So they kind of sit back and watch him die.
Yeah.
As he struggles a little bit and then dies. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that I felt kind of went very quickly. Yeah. Right? Like all of a sudden it's decided very fast that Ursula will stay and Marin has to go. And
he just disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that they...
And then you can go back home. And sad that they... I mean, this is not a happily ever after.
No,
it's for their friendship, but survival. They
are alive.
Yeah.
Yes.
This was survival and what they had to do. And I love that Ursa gets to go back home to her sister.
Yeah.
That's...
And now she has...
take care of her.
Open eyes.
To...
So if she gets married again, she can say, right? Like what do we know about him?
I'm going to ask some more questions about where we're going.
Father.
Yes.
Like, these are things that you didn't consider for me, and we're going to be better this time around. Maybe
I can have a little bit more voice and learn some
happiness.
This. Yeah.
I even was like, I know that the captain of the ship was a lot older than her, like her father's age, but it didn't sound like he had ever married. And he was so sweet to her. He was so
nice to her. And like, I've met you. I've been in your home.
And so even if she never ended up with him, which, because he probably would never marry, like to have an experience with someone who was kind.
Absolutely.
And to know that that exists.
It exists.
And to be like, you know what? Yeah. This is something that I would like. Well, and
even Marin with her betrothed who died, she was excited to be with him.
And yeah. She did sound like she loved him.
There are good men. There were good men.
Yes.
And
we only heard about them.
We heard about the
Getty kind of ones more in the past tense.
Yeah.
Because even like the other men, like they sounded like a nice little village. Mm-hmm. Like the men, like Eric, her brother, like took care of his wife and family. And like, anyway, it sounded like they were good men. I did kind of want
a little more about like, how did Eric meet Dina? And I mean, she's not of their culture, not of their town. How, like a little backstory there of how they got together. And
that would be fun to know.
That, and then where did Dina go after? Like, was she okay? Did she survive?
Yes.
How's baby Eric? And I just, in my head, when Marin left, they found each other. And,
I know.
And Dina taught Marin how to live off the land in the forests for survival and that they could be together.
So that she had at least some family.
Because
her mom was awful.
Her mom was awful.
I mean, she was grieving. I could understand that a little bit more at the end.
Still.
When she's like,
it was awful.
Yeah. And when she tells Marin that her name was mentioned in the witch trials, it was like,
I told you. She's
just like, oh, it's so bad. It's like, when do you stick up for someone?
Right.
When do you choose good? Your own
daughter?
Yeah.
Not even your own daughter.
It was so sad. So
never, you never stand up for someone. There was nobody in anybody's court here.
And I really did. I was so curious. Like, so what happened when they realized that he was gone? And like, did they just wrap up and say, well, he's gone? Or did they bring someone else in?
Yeah.
Or did the lynchman come in and like do more stuff? Like,
right.
Or did they just say, oh, well, like we got the witches that we needed to. We got the
ones
we
needed here and we'll move on somewhere else. Yeah.
I don't know. And then, but I will say, like, I was really interested in the after, like the, they did this little chapter afterwards about what like the historical real history that was happening then.
Yeah, that was interesting.
To hear like all the different, the factual things. And we've read a little bit leading up to it on like how they were going after people. Yeah. But the king at the time, he was trying to leave his mark.
Yeah.
I just thought, that's the mark you want to leave?
That's what you're going to leave behind.
That's like, I killed your claim women?
To fame is, but that's, they wanted to be written down in history. They so desperately wanted their names in the history books that they
made up fake things.
Just went with what they thought of the time. Like, this is what we need to do.
I thought it was awful.
I can't even imagine.
I thought it was awful.
I did too.
And the reality of it, it's just gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
It was so interesting. And that
this wasn't just happening there. Like, this was all over at the time. And it's so gross. It's just gross.
So sad.
That you can think that of another person totally based off of fear and ignorance.
I know.
And that we haven't learned yet. I feel like, haven't we learned from these lessons? We've had hundreds of years of history on
I think
the mistreatment of the unknown.
I think that's a big part of it. Like opening yourself up to the ugliness of our history.
Yeah.
I think if you don't talk about it, if you don't learn it and understand it, then you repeat it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are. I'm worried right now, in even in our society. Let's talk race. Let's talk anything else like prejudice or those kinds of things for any or kind even of
Republican different. And Democrats.
Like, yes.
We've got to learn from things like this. Like, let's open our minds, have conversations, and work together and learn from each other. And
learn. We have to admit and recognize against
each other.
Yeah, the bad things.
And have a civilized society.
No.
It doesn't work.
You have to understand someone else. And we can't keep
threatening lawsuits and back and forth and back and forth. I mean, yes, people break the law and they need to be held accountable. However, it's just gotten so ugly.
It is. And what we end up doing, I feel like what we do is we hate. Mm-hmm. And then when we, and it's other. Mm-hmm. When someone else is other.
Those, yeah.
Yeah, those the people, them, the those people who think this or they don't believe this. They're different
than me, so we can't possibly ever come together and agree on anything.
Yeah, like I'm not going to sit by you. You can't sit here.
You can.
Yeah.
Because we're all humans.
And everyone's life experiences take us somewhere different. I think that was ultimately such a big lesson in this story, just learning from our history, mm-hmm. understanding that it was awful. Mm-hmm. It was awful. And then saying, okay, well, what can I do so that maybe I'm not going to go burn witches, but where can I build a bridge? What am I
doing something instead similar? Of
in tearing our, someone a modern down?
Age, what? Yeah. Let's build some bridges.
Yeah. I just thought, let's be Ursulas. Let's be Marnes. Because Marne also, right, went... Was mm-hmm. open to Ursula.
To help her.
To help her learn. When
nobody else would. Mm-hmm.
So I thought they were wonderful characters. I will give it that.
I do too.
There was just things that I wanted.
Yeah.
And then other parts that I was like, you didn't need to do that. Give me more over here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That was my takeaway.
But
well done. The Mercies.
I enjoyed it.
Me too.
I think.
Definitely worth a read.
Definitely worth
Lessons it. Lessons learned.
Yep, I love a good book. I can walk away and say I can do better.
Yeah,
in my little area of the world, and that is definitely one that we can't dwell on the past.
Can't change it.
Can't change it. It happens. That's
true in all things.
Let's learn from it and let's be better.
Absolutely. Let's not do it the same again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So we'd love to hear what you thought. What did you guys think?
Yeah.
Did you agree or disagree with our feelings?
Any of our thoughts or what we said? Or give us your point of view on any of it.
Because,
again, I like to be enlightened to what I'm not seeing or maybe how I could be better.
Totally. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Such a good one. Good discussion.
I know. Always. I love book club weeks. They're so fun. So definitely tune in next week. We'll be doing What's on Your Shelf. Another one of my favorites. I guess I just love all of ours.
I just love our podcast. Right?
It's just the greatest podcast. Week. I know. Yeah. Each week I'm like, oh my gosh, guess what we're doing this week.
To our funnest podcast ever.
I know. And you can reach out to us. You can find us on Instagram or Facebook.
You can drop us an email at thisisyourbookclubpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and we love to interact with you. So please reach out. Let us
know. Absolutely.
What you think.
I know. And thanks to Amphibious Zoo for our music. We love it.
Yes. So fun.
And we'll see you next time.
That's a wrap. Yeah.
All right. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jamie.
And this is your book club.